This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip and you'll be on your way. With Megan Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon. One time, I thought my friend was behind me in a bathroom, and I said out loud how much I looked like a trash can, only to see that it wasn't her, it was a stranger, and when I looked at them, they didn't disagree with me. So that's why I have a friend here to help me help you, Phil!
What's
Phil
up?
Phil Wang is here.
Hi, everyone. Hello, the Batooniverse.
Stop. Did you think about that on the way here?
No, just now.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God that was just now. And as I started, I didn't know if I could finish it, and it actually came out okay.
That was really good. I've actually never heard that one before.
I have never either. TM, that, copyright that, I get 15%. All merch sales.
Wow. That's
aggressive, right? We're here to do business, right? Just kidding.
But Batooniverse is really good. A little upset that I didn't think about that myself.
I'm actually kind of shocked, too, and your credibility has now gone down.
It has. Yeah. If I ever do use it, you will get
something. No, don't.
Batooniverse. That's too much of me, so I wouldn't be able to.
You can give it a try.
Do you ever, try and put yourself out there, but then you're like, this might come off like I think too highly of myself, so I'm going to just go back to bed?
I think in this day and age where, you know, social media, and obviously we're in a business where we have to self-promote because it
right.
is our business and we have customers and a product essentially, I've tried to get over it, you know, but it's always still uncomfortable.
Yeah. I just think it took a long time to come up with Toon Squad because I was I don't want to have a name for
right.
I also don't call the people that watch my stuff fans. It's so weird.
People
to me.
Have asked us to do that for Wong Fu. They want a nickname for they want their
the
believers or whatever
group.
Or BTS Army. We don't have that, you know, and I'm like, you know, we can just call, we can be friends. Why don't we just friends and support? Although I'm very proud of our Patreon group. I came up with Care Holders.
Cute.
So it's like they own a share, but they own it through care. So it's a care holder. So
oh my gosh.
I like that.
Do they pay in hugs? How do they pay?
Thankfully, it's in the form of actual money.
Sure.
And then the hugs are optional if we ever see each other in real life.
Oh, optional. I love that it's on the table, but
I'm never going to force them, you know? Yeah.
After a quick internet stalk, Phil,
yeah.
I found out that you have fingers that look like toes.
Oh, God.
What? And he's holding his thumbs
now. Well, now, the attention's on it. Well, here's the thing. I'm proud. Don't body shame me, okay?
You were body shaming you.
I have thumbs that look like toes.
Let's see them. Oh, I guess in a way.
Right? They're just flatter. So most people have, the square aspect ratio. I have
of a toenail
I
or
have
of a toe?
My nail is panoramic, right? I have a widescreen 1080p toe is what I like to say. Most people are 4'3", you know, and it's no one wants that kind of thumb, right? Everyone wants the high def, right?
You are the only person in the world that would describe anything like that,
and I
love it.
Most people call it the Megan Fox thumb. I think she's the one that brought it to visibility and prominence.
Sure.
So it's actually a genetic mutation. So technically I'm an X-Man.
Love that.
Yeah.
One time I closed my thumb in a car door because my mom asked me to walk my sister's dog and I was very upset about it.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to
make a point.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say show my butt, but that's what she would say. So I put my hand on the car and it was a red convertible, I guess. And we lived in Florida.
Yeah.
And that was the peak of Florida. And so I slammed the car door and it right on my nail bed. Oh, and I was shrieking.
Yeah.
And ever since then, that was when I was maybe 8 or something like that, maybe 12. And I still, if you look really closely, you can see that it has a divot.
Yeah.
It looks like the Grand Canyon in the middle of my thumb.
Hey, we're like, we have thumb stories.
Oh, yeah.
You could say like, you know, it's like the tip of our thumbs, hence just the tip.
That's right. Just some mutated tip.
Yeah. Okay. That's where we're going with this talk. Okay.
Yeah. So that's us. Bad Thumb Club.
I like to tell stories about, like, I tell people that I play too many video games when I was, like, that's, like, when you're talking to kids. Like, you're trying to teach them a lesson. Oh my God, I'm old guy with a deformity.
In Arrested Development?
Is that it? I feel like it's a device that's used a lot.
It probably is. But in Arrested Development, there's a guy that is always trying to, correct me if I'm wrong, but is always trying to teach a lesson. So he'll like come
and then
he'll be like, that's why you never play video games or something like
that.
I'm that guy.
I was like,
that's deep
Arrested Development knowledge.
Yeah. I've also never finished it. Here's another thing about me. I don't finish any show. I've never seen the end of The Office. I don't know how Friends ends. Arrested Development, I haven't finished. The Good Place, I'm all over.
Okay.
Do you watch The Good Place?
I have not seen it.
Phil, oh my God, as a storyteller, you need to watch it.
How many seasons are they on now?
Only two.
Okay, that's doable.
And I think each season is roughly 13 episodes.
Okay, that's not bad.
It is the best show on TV.
I also don't have TV. I only have
Netflix. Well, it's on Netflix.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. It's so good.
All right. Because of that enthusiastic...
it's so good.
You know, endorsement, I will check it out.
I love it.
Do you watch BoJack Horseman?
I've seen a couple episodes.
I feel like you would like it. It's very good for, I think, our types of self-loathing people.
Yeah.
Self-deprecating. I think that's why, like, a lot of Hollywood likes it. Anyways.
Yeah. No, for sure. I've never finished it.
It's very, very pun heavy.
It is definitely pun heavy. I think that of all the cartoons, I would be on board with the most. I did really love Family Guy when I was in high school.
Yeah, it was like that was like a high school college-y kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. BoJack is cool because it's written in Hollywood, so we can understand all of it too, which is nice.
We're that type. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh.
You need to watch the end of Friends. Actually, no. Recently, I watched I rewatched all of Friends, and the ending was a little like, oh my gosh, this is very tropey and very like, I don't know. It wasn't what I remembered, but just the nostalgia was enough to still make me emotional.
What happens at the end of Friends?
So you literally got up to like the last episode and you stopped?
A lot of times.
I'll do that.
I don't want it to end.
Exactly. I did that for Parks and Rec.
Oh, I also haven't seen the end of that.
Okay, you should watch that. That one gets very emotional.
Okay.
Friends, she had like... that's what the thing is. It's very tropey. Like, it's very like 90s, whatever, 2000s tropey. She had a job opportunity.
Who's she?
Rachel.
Of course.
She had an opportunity to go to Paris for a job. Mm-hmm. And so she was about to go, and Ross tries to chase her down. But he goes to the wrong airport. He goes to JFK.
Oh, my God,
of course.
And so
you're led to believe that she left. When he goes home, she's there. And
she's... Oh, wait. Like, she's so there
she
back in the apartment.
Plane. She got off the plane at LaGuardia or something.
Yeah, and then...
And met her at Ross's place. And they're like, oh, you didn't get on the plane. And then it's cute and happy.
So, wait. In the very end of the entire show...
Yeah. Ross and Rachel all together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And...
Wait, and, Monica and Chandler, like, they buy a house? Sorry.
Monica and Chandler leave the apartment, move to a suburb.
Right. Joey lives with them.
Have twins.
Yeah.
Joey does not live with them.
Oh, shoot.
Incorrect.
I should
and
know this.
Phoebe and Mike are going to have a baby.
Who's Mike?
Phoebe's husband.
Paul Rudd, by the way.
Holy crap. Yeah. I guess I've missed so much.
What do they do?
Phoebe and Mike have already been married,
yeah.
And then Mike is like, let's have a baby. And
right,
Phoebe's
right.
like, for sure.
Sorry,
I'm
like a Friends, like, season 2 through 7, like, apologist. Like, those are, like, the best ones, right? After
sure.
that, it got a little, like...
I mean, that's like The Office.
Right. Once Joey and Rachel gave it a shot, I was like, I was kind of done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I bet they were, too.
Yeah. But they were collecting that $1 million per episode check.
Okay, great. I like that I know a lot more about Friends. This is not a podcast about Friends. It's an advice podcast where people write into us through our email, and we do our best to maybe help them in giving advice of what we should do, what we would do, what they should do.
Got it.
Anything that we can give them to maybe help them out of their
situation. And we're super qualified, right?
Exactly.
We're professors. We have PhDs in behavioral science.
Mm-hmm. And that's all just me.
Yeah, that's just your credentials. For me, I have a couple Nobel Prizes in relationships. That's not even, I can't even make up awards.
Sunbelt Prizes.
Yeah, Sunbelt.
Yeah, so highly qualified, blah, blah, blah. Are you ready?
Sure.
Sure.
I have no idea what to expect of these questions.
Same.
Okay.
I'm a 27-year-old who is trying to make a name for myself in travel photography. The dilemma is that I also have a part-time job that I'm crazy about. I manage a tattoo shop.
Whoa.
What makes it so hard to break away is that not only do I love what I do, but my job is so good to me. Anytime I ask for time off, they're always happy to let me go. I'm technically an independent contractor, so I even make my own hours. My question is, do I leave my part-time job to buckle down in my photography business, or do I keep a part-time job I love, even though it doesn't have anything to do with photography? From Never Seen Sleepless in Seattle. We asked them to write Sleepless in Seattle sign-offs to keep their anonymity, and that's funny.
Nice, nice.
So, 27-year-old, in between the freedom of doing what they can do to make a living, or what they want to really do to make a living.
I think part of it depends on, I mean, obviously, like, it depends on a lot of things, right? So how long has she been at this tattoo shop, right?
And
does she feel like she's invested enough time and played both sides of, has she already made the effort to balance both? Like, I think one thing that I always, because when we go on tour and we talk to, like, college kids and they're so worried about, you know, going down, like, a traditional job, but a lot of them do have, like, artistic or creative aspirations. And I always tell them, like, look, I'm not telling you, like, you know, quit your job or quit school or whatever, make your parents unhappy. But you can, there's like a nice transition time that you can try. If you really love to do it, you'll make time to do it, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like she's already kind of trying.
Yeah. The cool thing about her job is that it seems like she can kind of do whatever she wants. So what if you try and balance both because you have like a full-on paycheck that you know is going to happen if you're at the tattoo shop, and then every like once a month you can go travel anywhere and do photography and do that on the side. You can have two jobs.
Right. And I think once there's a tipping point where if the travel photography does actually start, you know, paying, or if she's able to start supporting herself based on gigs or whatever, then she can make that transition. For example, at Wong Fu, like when we first started, this is like early days, not even YouTube was truly what it was right now. We were still doing like weddings and we were doing like local commercials and stuff like that. But we started selling t-shirts. Like we were very early in the merchandising side of stuff. And we started to see that, hey, we're making enough off this other side of the business that we could start saying no to, you know, going to a nightclub and doing video coverage for them.
Okay.
You know, and it was great. And that was awesome.
Wait, oh my God, the amount of lens flares in Wong Fu Club video. Can I see this?
It's probably like deep in some reel on like my personal channel somewhere.
I can't wait.
But yeah, so like, you know, kind of seeing, you know, based off of your opportunities, what like life kind of like leads you down naturally, I guess. So that's what I would say to her, you know, like, and at the same time, if she's not able to make it her living, like there's no problem with also just having it as a fun hobby.
Exactly. You
know? I feel like this day and age, people feel so pressured to make their passion their job when I think it's okay for some passions to just say a passion, you know?
I agree.
Like I don't think we need to feel obligated that we all have this sort of like, I chase my passion and now I'm this, you know, billionaire because of my passion, you know, like.
Right. I mean, it sounds nice.
It
and
does.
Some people can do that for sure.
Yeah.
But it definitely, I mean, there's a saying that's like, make your job your passion and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Right.
Completely disagree.
Right.
Like as someone that is living her dream, essentially.
Yeah.
I go to actual work every day and it is very hard and it is very stressful and it is not rainbows.
Right.
It's not that. It's just like, it seems grass is greener, but it isn't.
So you heard it right here. Don't go after your passions. Megan Batoon, 2018.
Definitely go after your passion. But it is work. Like, I just think people think that it's not going to be work if you like what you're doing.
Just be realistic. And I don't want to shame people that feel like they didn't quit their job to go chase that specific thing either, you know? Like,
it's, yeah, that's fine.
It's, there's ways to, like, find balance, too.
I think so, yeah. too. I think when you said make sure you can support yourself,
yeah.
like, let's, if this is her, we're talking to her, 27-year-old yeah. travel photographer, tattoo artist lady, yeah. at what point should she quit her tattoo right. job? Like, is it when she can support herself with all rent through right. photography, or is it when it's, like, rent times two? Mm-hmm. Like, where's the security in order for her to quit a part-time job? Like, what would you say?
I think that that completely depends on her choice of, like, lifestyle, right? So if she's down to go, like, month to month on things, maybe that's enough for some people, right? Mm-hmm. If she's, like, ready to, like, buy a house and get a mortgage, then it might need to be something different, right? So, you know, for me, like, it sounds like if you have a job that you're, like, unhappy with, that's actually, like, taking away from your enjoyment of life, that's when you should start thinking about switching things up completely.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she's in, like, a nice middle ground where she can still have benefits of both. And it sounds like she's going to get to a point where she will be able to weigh out options if she does devote a little bit more time to the travel side. She might actually realize, oh, you know what? I actually like it when it is just this once a month thing mm-hmm. and not my, like, daily, I got to think of
that's
the next place to go and think of the next brand deal, blah, blah, blah. Like, that might actually take away from your enjoyment of travel.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So to piggyback on, I guess, my seemingly pessimistic outlook on, like, having your passion right. as your job, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying that it's definitely going to become less yeah. of enjoyment because you have to do it. Anything right. you have to do right. is going to feel less like you want to do it.
Right. So give it a try. Give it a try, and you basically, I think, in any decisions in their life, you just need data. Like, life is about collecting data for you to make choices. And right now, she just doesn't seem to have enough data of if that's the type of, like, lifestyle and pursuit of her career that she wants. So, yeah, give yourself an opportunity to go experiment, I would
yeah,
say.
I like that.
Is that right?
If you were a travel photographer, where would you go first?
Oh, man, I have never been to Africa yet, so I'm very curious about Africa. But the thing is, like, I'm always, like, seeing, there's so many, like, awesome, like, YouTube channels or Instagram profiles that, like, are all these, like, amazing, you know, photos and things and edits. But when I go travel, like,
mainly edits.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, look for, like, the best shot and spend. I was just in, like, Europe for, like 2 weeks. I went to Switzerland for the first time.
Cool.
Beautiful country. And I mean, of course, I cared about getting good photos, but for me to feel like I had to, like, leave with, like, an amazing vlog, like, that, like, I didn't like
yeah.
that. I didn't want that feeling, you know? So I was like, yeah, like, I'll snap a couple of pics, but I'm not going to try to, like,
I love that.
Pack a drone, you know? So for me, like, that's not my goal. For some people, that's their outlet, so that's fine. But
right.
So for me to become a travel vlogger, I don't really have a desire for that.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
Yeah. If I can get paid to go travel and take a couple of pictures, that's fine. But
yeah.
Like, but to have to do, like, a Casey Neistat edit everywhere I go, I'm good, man.
That would be a lot. It'd be really good, though.
One thing that I actually, like, would prefer doing is I actually like writing scripts and, like, finding, like, local people to act in them. So we've shot, like, a short in Rome,
right.
in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, Japan. I actually think that's a lot more interesting.
That's okay. So gotta dive deep into
yeah.
this. So you write a script
right.
in English.
In English, yeah.
And then you travel to, say, Rome.
Yeah.
And you get a translator.
So, and this is where, like, the fan base is, like, such an amazing thing. Like, I posted, like, hey, I'm going to be going to Rome. I want to make this in, like, the local language, right? Oh. And so we actually got connected through fans, people that live there. And yeah, they translated it. And they're just excited to, like, do it. Like,
oh,
they're all just, you know, hungry
Wong
creatives.
Funiverse.
Yeah, or yeah, the Wong Funiverse. Dang it, now, okay, we trade. Okay, one for one, dang it. so we would get there, we would scout, you know, one day, I would try to scout, like, you know, from, like, you know, Street View or something, and sometimes, like, we would take a day just to, like, this sounds so, like, you know, hippie, but taking the energy of the city and the,
yeah.
we should shoot there. Like, there's something about, like, when you're traveling to a place for the first time, like, the way you see the city is very different from how a local person would
oh,
see
of
it.
Of course, yeah.
So, we just try to make a short, essentially, in like, one day or 2 days.
That's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm going to interject with a quick story before we move on to our next question, because we're speaking about short films. The reason why I started a YouTube channel was because of one of your videos called
gosh.
The Last.
And it was not the last one you watched, thankfully.
It was not.
I'm glad.
I watched one more after that.
Just one. I'm always like so like that. You told me that before, and I always feel very, you know, grateful and very honored because like you're such a talented person yourself. To know that we had a little piece of pushing you over, there's a part of me that feels a little bit responsible for everything you're going through now, but yeah. Also really glad that we helped bring you guys Megan Batoon, everyone.
That's
listening.
Right.
So you're
brought
welcome.
To you by Wong Fu Productions.
The last. But yeah, I mean, there's so few filmmakers or there's such little filmmaking happening on YouTube these days.
Yeah.
I feel like we're like kind of like one of a handful of channels that are still trying to do it. And whenever I see you do a sketch, I'm always like super gung-ho about it because I know how difficult it is, you know, to go do scripted original stuff. So
yeah, it doesn't do well at all.
It doesn't.
So sad.
Trust me, I know. So it really has to be for the passion of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If you're making a sketch for views, might as well not.
Right.
Might
right,
as well
right.
as soon as you open your script writing program, just go out and go close that.
Exactly. That's why it's always nice to be surprised when some things actually like. Go off, you know, so.
Yeah, that is nice. But yeah, I remember it was at the outside of a dance audition and I was watching it on a phone. And
oh
it was,
gosh.
I guess, not to take away complete credit from you, but it was like you, it was your video was the impetus to, or the catalyst of making me go away. But like Dietrich's and Ryan Higa were in my ear saying I should do it. And it just took me watching that video. That was such a good... If you haven't watched it, anyone listening, go to Wong Fu's YouTube channel and watch it. Yeah. It is so good.
Thank you.
You've seen it, right? I've showed you.
This is now my podcast. But
this is my podcast. Now we dissect every
and
part
honestly,
of the last.
Ryan and Dietrich are very convincing people. So.
Oh, yeah.
So all the Asians basically got you here.
Wow, look at me.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
You're
Asians.
You're welcome on behalf of Asians.
Wow, very, very good stuff.
I'm glad to hear that.
If you ever make another sketch, I will audition for it.
We definitely need to have you back. Your acting is phenomenal, and I would actually love to have you write some stuff.
Yeah, I got hands.
Would you really?
Yes, are you kidding me?
But then you just said, as soon as you open up script, you know, final draft, you just want to close it, so.
I said if you're making it for views. Close the program.
And clearly, Wong Fu's not doing that these days.
Wong View Productions. I will 100% write with you.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
If you allow.
You guys all heard it here.
Wow. A moment in time.
I'm gonna take clips of this and just keep playing it. I'm gonna like voicemail you every like month. Be like, hey,
I'll be there.
Where's the next script?
Question number two. I'm a 19-year-old girl and was in a relationship for 4 years. Wow.
Ooh.
Oh, what's the math on that?
15.
Thank you.
Very good. That's where you're not Asian.
Yep, that's where my white comes in.
There. We just fulfilled so many stereotypes right there. Perfect.
I broke up with my boyfriend 2 years ago because I felt like I wouldn't be able to commit the way he wanted to.
Wait, so no, we're adding to the equation now. It's now 2x plus 4 is 19. I'm just kidding.
This algebra?
No, I'm just kidding. So she's 19 now. She broke up 2 years ago, but she was with him for 4 years. So we're actually going back 6 years, 13.
No.
What'd she say? She said she's 19.
She's 19 minus 4, 15. She broke up 2 years ago. It would be 19
minus
2.
But they were together for 4 years, she
said. But there's a breakup in quotation marks.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm right.
They were young. Regardless, this is a high school relationship. Continue.
Because I felt like I wouldn't be able to commit the way that he wanted me to. Mm. We got back together because we missed each other and decided just to be happy in the moment. However, he has recently started talking about moving in together, having kids, and getting married.
19?
I don't see myself being with him for very much longer, but don't know if I should break up with him right now. My question is, how do you break up with someone that you love, but know you aren't right for? From Lost But Not Lonely.
Damn.
Yikes.
Breakups are always tough to talk about. You start.
Okay.
This is a girl. Yeah.
So my thing is, on paper, it's like, oh, no, just get out now. It's going to be easier.
Right.
But when you're in this, it is not easy. And you would rather have the small moments, intermittent happiness, than always perpetual detrimental times.
Yeah, I mean, it's always easier to give advice on paper, right?
Yeah. Here's what a game that we play called Should Do, Would Do comes in.
Okay.
Because we say what they should do,
right,
which is pretty easy. But then we go deep inside of us and say, what would we actually do?
Well, I think people are, or I mean, if you're listening, you're assuming that we're saying she should break up with him. It sounds like on paper she should, right?
Mm.
I think for, like, you have to, for people to understand why that's such a knee-jerk reaction, we should explain why.
For sure.
It's such a clear decision to us, at least reading this, and also with 10 plus years experience on top of her, right? So I think the biggest thing is that when you're that age, when you're in your teens, just out of high school, whatever, you think 20s is old.
I know. Wait, gotta jump in here really quick. I remember I posted something on my Instagram. It was probably Snapchat as long ago this was. And I was playing Vitamin C. As we go on, we remember. Because she says, in one of the verses, she says, looking back when I'm 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is offensive.
Yeah.
And then you had replied to it. And we were
sharing in our age. We were aging ourselves. But
25 is not old.
25 is not old. And I think, because I can fully remember myself being a very dramatic and emotional teenager and thinking, like, my world was high school, my world was teens, whatever. And I think that's very natural because, like, that's all we had known up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you haven't maybe left home yet. You haven't had a lot of experiences, but there's a real beauty and excitement about what's beyond, you know, your hometown or what's beyond your school. And even college too. People think even college is the end, but after college, there's so much more, right? And so I would encourage, you know, both of them actually, even him too, like don't do the things too early because that's what you perceive is already the end of the line.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that they're in love with each other. I don't doubt that they have emotions, but I think they owe it to themselves as human beings to develop a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I changed so much. I changed so much from 2 months ago to me now, and I'm 27.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even talking to you 2 months ago. Now look here, we're at a podcast. I'm like, who are you, Megan? Brand new girl.
Exactly. Like, from 18 to 21 is such a big jump. And then from 21 to 24 is a jump. From 24 to 25, I will always say this, I think it's the most crucial jump that you'll ever make. And then after that, it's you're just honing in on you. So, like, I would say don't make any decisions until you're 25.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think, you know, if for those that, you know, are coming out of high school and going to college, like, you definitely have those post-high school years that you're trying to figure out, like, you know, you think you're becoming an adult, right? And then you graduate or you hit your 20s and you realize, oh no, like, I now I have to, like, figure out my career.
Yeah.
And so you start making decisions that you think are for, like, oh, I'm so grown up. I'm starting my career. And you reach 25 and you're like, oh my God, I actually don't know shit still.
Right. And I also don't want to do this anymore.
Right. You've actually given yourself several years thinking that you were doing the right thing, and you hit 25, and that's why a lot of people, and, you know, end up doing, like, I'm going to move to New York, you know, like, I'm going to just change it all up. And you see a lot of people do career changes, go back to school. A lot of breakups happen around their mid 20s because
that was my big breakup when I was 25. It was like clockwork. As soon as I turned 25, I was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Now.
Cause you thought, like, I think before then you think you're making the adult decisions and then you realize that you're not even an adult yet. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, it's inherent and it's like genetic almost. It's actually,
it's like a timer.
Body clockwork. It's, you're not like, okay, now I'm 25. I'm so close to 30. What am I going to do? It's almost like your brain switches its own gears without you even knowing.
Yeah. Your heart just kind of drops to, like, another level of, like, awareness.
Yeah.
So for this girl, it's going to, like, it sounds like she's going to break his heart. So from the guy's side, if I can talk to the guy, like, give her the guy's perspective so that she can approach it the right way.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, definitely let him know how meaningful this relationship is, but that it's going to be for the best, right? And that no matter what they had will always be special. And who's to say that they won't come back in the future? You know, I never want to give that false hope or whatever, but I just don't want people to think that this one relationship and this one person defines me, right?
Yeah.
And, like, there's going to be other experiences. So for her and for him, like, don't you can be sad. Let yourself have the proper process to deal with the breakup, but also be excited to know that you're probably gonna wake up the next morning. You're probably gonna, you know, you're probably gonna continue on and actually, let's take that back.
Like you won't wake up the next morning.
No, I was gonna say you're definitely gonna wake up the next morning.
Yes.
You're definitely gonna find yourself 5 years from now in the blink of an eye and think, oh, that was a great relationship that I had with a very sweet girl that's meaningful to me. And we're both better because of it.
Yeah.
If the breakup's handled in the right way.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the best way to handle a breakup like this, though?
Honesty. I think honesty is always the best way. Like, don't fade it out. I think that's the worst way, because that's when like cheating happens. That's when lies happen. I think it's better, and especially if they've already broken up for similar reasons.
Yeah, because you couldn't commit.
It won't be blindsiding
him. Mm-hmm.
I think the toughest thing is when people are blindsided. Right, but if the writing's on the wall, then she just has to say, look, I've been trying to change this perspective, but I just know that I can't. And you deserve to have someone that, you know, is willing to be in this the way that you want it.
Yeah.
Or like I can't just be here with like half of my heart, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half of my heart.
John Mayer.
Can we add a little music to this part? It's called "Half of My Heart" by John Mayer.
And Taylor Swift.
I don't know what this one is.
She's in that song. She's not in that song.
She does backup vocals to it, and that's how they started their relationship.
Stop this.
And that's
now.
That's why they broke up. She wrote "Dear John." I'm a Swiftie here, so.
And I'm a Mary.
Are they? Is that what they're?
Wait, well, no. I'm sure.
He doesn't have a Batooniverse.
Let's play the song.
Let's just play that song. Oh, half of my heart's got a grip on the situation. Half of my heart takes time.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Over the break, Phil also gave us an extra piece of advice you can find on MeganBatoon.com/podcast. But before we get into our third and final question, what is going on in the Wong Fooniverse?
Oh man, this past year has been really exciting. We self-produced and financed our own like series.
Yeah, you did.
And I think like going back to what we were saying before, it's really difficult to make scripted narrative content on YouTube. But despite that, we believe in what it means for the platform and, you know, for our community. So I wrote and directed a series with my partner Taylor. And we released it, and the response has been great. It was kind of like my version of like Insecure or like Master of None.
Mm-hmm.
And we took it on tour. We sold out like, you know, 10 cities like around the continent.
So cool.
Yeah. So we're in talks to do a second season also on our channel. And that's the thing, like these days, there's so many options of how, you know, you can approach like making a series, and we decided that we wanted to put it on our channel and start treating our channel as like its own network, I guess. So little steps towards like a bigger picture, I guess. Mm-hmm. Hopefully someday there will be more series on our channel that we can finance. Maybe there will be a Megan Batoon series.
That would be cool.
We'll get the second. It'll go on your channel first window.
Sure.
We'll be the, you know, when they go into, oh my gosh, what's the word? We'll be the syndication. You know?
Oh, yes. Yes. Very good. I was like, incubator?
But that actually is one thing, too. I do actually want to help, you know, other creators with our platform, too. Now, I think we've been doing this for, like, This is our 15th year, technically.
That is so insane.
We're really old. We're
so old.
We're dinosaurs on the YouTube platform. We were here even before YouTube, but now I'm kind of seeing that, you know, we have a lot of fans and we have a loyal following, but I kind of want to share other people's work and other people's experiences. And just last week, we released like our first short with like an LGBTQ
really cool
lead couple. Yeah. So just like that's kind of like the beginning is what we're trying to do.
I love that. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. A full on network. One Pooh-verse.
Yeah. I'm just tired of my own voice, you know?
Dude, that's so true. Yeah. As I'm recording a podcast.
As I'm here also. Man, do I sound good right now? Oh, my voice.
Oh, man. Do you ever listen to your voicemail or are you recording a voicemail and you're like, that's how I sound to people?
Yeah. Well, videos itself is like, we have to hear ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
But, I guess you're right. Because I guess this is before I started YouTube, but like I'd like record a phone message to someone. Yeah. And then I would go to that friend and I go, is this how I actually sound?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah.
You just dated yourself again. You're saying basically before you could play back audio and video on your phone, when I had to record a voicemail onto my Razer Sidekick, whatever, Nokia.
I could never have a Sidekick. I was not cool enough. That was like cool that girl, was cool boy, cool boys. Cool koi's. That's really cool fish. Last question. Over the years, I have found myself falling in love with my best friend. We have always joked about dating, but I've never actually committed to the idea. Ooh. I knew I couldn't deny my feelings any longer when I found out he had a girlfriend. I ended up confessing to him, and he told me that he had felt the same way. He said he wanted to come visit me within the month so that we can talk in person and give our relationship a chance. I haven't heard all of these ad libs.
I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm like.
I haven't heard from him in weeks.
Oh, no.
I don't understand what happened. How do you go from saying you want to fly across the country to see me to ghosting me? He won't answer my calls or texts, but I really need some closure from this. How can I get in contact with him? Or should I just forget we ever shared what I thought was a meaningful connection in the first place? From Ghosted.
Dang.
Yikesies.
I thought that story was going one way, and then it went another.
Yeah.
And then another. So at first I thought this was just going to be another like nice guy, nice girl story. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't see me. And then it turned into like passing ships.
Yeah.
And then now it's turned into like where did his feelings go? Like he it's withered away.
Right.
So, well, she said he has a girlfriend.
That's the thing. And that's where I think maybe the girlfriend had seen the messages.
100%.
And then you're not allowed to talk to him anymore because, of course.
Yeah, because that's
this is
would
bad.
Be, yeah, that would not be right. So unless he is willing to end it over there, like, I don't even think he should have offered to even go over to talk about giving a relationship a chance.
I think that's not good.
Right, while being with someone else. And I understand, like, emotions make things complicated, and sometimes people will say things and act, you know, based on the heat of the moment or whatever, but for sure the girlfriend caught on to that.
Yeah.
But then if that's also the case, then either he felt really guilty and wants to give it a chance with his current girlfriend, or they would have broken up or something because of his dishonesty. So
right. So it seems like he's made the decision to stay with the girlfriend that he is with already. Right. He shouldn't have meddled this in any way.
Well, did she first meddle first?
Yeah, it seems like Ghosted talked to him about
first,
it.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting plan of attack.
After the fact that he has a girlfriend.
Yeah, because I felt that way too. Like, I have been attracted to people that have girlfriends, but like, maybe it would be a harmless, ostensibly flirt or like friendliness.
That's a good word, ostensibly. Wow. SAT, it's SAT season, so you should explain
it's
that.
It's SAT season. Season. ostensibly is something that on the outside looks a certain way, but truly deep down is very different. I feel like...
Like you felt you were getting signals from the guy, though he had a girlfriend?
Well, sometimes, yes. Guys give off interesting aromas.
To say the least. Wait, girls give crazy signals, too.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we all do.
Sure.
We're just...
Humans are terrible.
That's right. That's what I was getting at.
I mean, Wong Fu, like, we have a brand and even like a series about like being like the nice guy, or like the whole idea of like nice guys finish last and nice girls too.
Nice guys finish last, that's well, she'll treat you like trash. Whose song is that? Chester
that
C?
That was Ryan Chester and Kev Jumba.
Wow.
That's going OG. But our advice, when, you know, we've made multiple videos about this, but like, and it's obviously easier said than done, but the feeling should have been communicated earlier, right?
And this
story might have been very different because it turns out he had feelings too.
Yeah, right? It's interesting that she said that she found out that he had a girlfriend. But if you guys are best friends, shouldn't that have been on the table much sooner?
Right, like she would have been able to see this girl coming from a mile away.
Right.
And
talked about it.
Right.
Unless he didn't tell her.
For a specific reason.
Yeah. This guy is actually not that great, and you should just let it go, sister. But right, like, I mean, I feel like there's something a little cloudy here.
For sure.
But I think just overall, yeah, it's unfortunate that there wasn't earlier communication before another party became involved.
Right? Yeah. 100%. I hardly heard the rest of that because right when you said cloudy, I just kept on thinking cloudy with a chance of cheat balls.
Oh my God. Is this where your mind is just always at? You're just.
That's right.
You know, like in Beautiful Mind, he sees like math.
Uh huh.
You, when you're like looking at the word, you're just seeing like puns.
Yeah, like once someone says something, it goes like.
Cloudy with a chance
like,
of
have
cheat
you,
balls.
Do you watch Broad City?
I have not seen
it. Oh, you should watch it.
Yeah, I hear good things.
Here's the thing. You should watch it. It's really funny. Yeah. One of their like ongoing jokes is that when one of the girls has like a panic, not a panic attack, but like something happens to her, and they do it, the serious stuff and very unserious stuff, but basically all of the audio cuts out, and then it's just like this high pitched zoom. Yeah, it's like ing, and then she's all like discombobulated. Yeah, yeah. That's what happens when somebody says something that can be punified to me.
Well, to repeat myself.
Sure.
Without now that we got the pun out of the way.
Uh-huh. Thank God.
Just something there, too. It would have been better if there was this communication before another party came to. Hindsight's always 20/20. So now she needs advice of what to do now, right?
Yeah. She wants to know if she should get in contact with him and how, or if she should just forget it.
Well, it sounds like she's already tried, but he's ghosting her. So I kind of feel like the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. It definitely feels like he gave you the answer, and I feel like you should just take a back seat to the whole situation because you have tried. It's not like you'll be like, what if? Still, because you've already explored the what if.
Yeah.
Like, what if I reached out? Well, now you know.
The ball is in his court, and he's choosing. So, like, oftentimes, like, inaction is still an action, right?
Yeah.
So you have your closure in some ways, right? And I think it's just a hard pill to swallow right now. Because it seems like it was open-ended, but to me it sounds like he's made a choice that he needs to cut it off, and it seems like he's giving his other relationship a chance.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yikes. Ending, I think that's perfect advice. One ending question, have you ever ghosted someone? Or has anyone ever ghosted you? Mainly the first one.
I'm very unadventurous in dating. I actually have not gone on that many like just one-off dates before. I'm extremely terrified of rejection.
Same.
So a lot of my relationships have been just like full-on serious relationships. Like,
right.
I kind of like, this is a bad word, but like, I jump kind of from one to another, and sometimes they don't end the best way. So
sure.
These are my own faults that I've been dealing with and learning over the last few years. But to answer your question, I try not to ghost people because I think there's an empathetic side of me that I just always imagine what they're going through on the other side.
Aww.
And I just feel really terrible to know if they're sad or crying or, you know, unhappy. Like, I want to give that closure. But then I've also learned that sometimes opening up those wounds again is also not a good thing, you know? I used to say, like, you know, picking at scabs is what creates scars.
Oh, so, wow. Can I jump in with another song? This one is, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I think it's a Death Cab for Cutie or the a Postal Service song where it's like, I already said this. I'm not going to play the song, but basically, like, how do you expect to have a better future when you just keep on tearing out the sutures? I forget what it
is. Oh, yeah,
exactly,
that's good. Yeah. Except mine's original. So,
that's right.
I'm just kidding. But no, that's exactly, you're not giving yourself any room to heal. So,
right.
I try my best to find closure to a point that's to a healthy point, I guess. Like, I don't like it's, I think it's bad to lead people on at the same time.
Yeah. That's really difficult. Ghosting is, I just feel like, why don't you say you're about to ghost someone?
Yeah.
You just can, tell me, be like, I'm gonna not, I have to go forever.
Yeah. Because people are afraid of definitive statements.
Yes.
And that could be on their own, you know, their own confidence, or maybe they're unsure themselves, you know, but, or there, some people are just afraid of like saying mean things to others. So they think that not saying anything is like less mean, but sometimes
right.
It's worse. So
a lot of times it's worse.
Ultimately in relationship, communication is always best.
Agree. And ultimately in the comment section, communication is frowned upon. Stop being mean in the comments. All right. That's our time. Phil, thank you.
No, thank you
for coming and helping
of course.
All of these people. I think you did a great job.
I hope so. I hope so.
Where can people find you on the internet?
You know, just through the typical social meds.
Social meds.
I am on Instagram at Wong Fu Phil and Twitter, Philip Wang. And also our YouTube channel. If you want to watch short films and sketches, check out Wong Fu Productions on YouTube.
Watch the last first. Yeah. Watch
hey,
the
actually,
last first.
Megan's been in a couple things as
I have.
Well. So maybe you should go search Megan Batoon Wong Fu and those videos will show up. Yeah.
And more to come.
And hopefully more to come. I mean, you're so busy, Megan.
I'm doing it. Let me do this. Let me have this one thing.
I'm letting you live your best life right now. And, you know, once things get rocky, then we'll come in and sweep.
I like once things get rocky. All right. If you have a sticky situation or a burning concern, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com. And be sure to sign up Sleepless in Seattle style with your age so we don't out your true persona. Also, rate us 5 stars because I'm still recovering from the stranger throwing subtle shade at me in the bathroom that one time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 5 stars, okay? Especially this episode. Especially because of this episode.
That's right. The end.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.